Church Seekers Sunday School class. The ladies had beauty, and I guess you'd call it harmony. The men, we had the volume. Might not have been all, but then there at the end was the unity that the preacher's been talking about. Everybody was together, the unity. Now, some may not know it, be aware of it, or even know what it's for, but well, maybe it's over with. I was going to announce a new converts class. Is anyone interested in a new converts class or a beginner's class? The preacher's interested in teaching. It would be for those who've been saved a year or less, or maybe you've been saved a long time and just want to grow. Anyway, you can enroll, see the preacher. Looks like you enroll over here today. Okay, been reading your Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, get one of these. Good Lord willing, we'll have a Bible readers banquet in January. Now, what book are we in? Genesis. Looks like Brother Larry might be sick. Does anyone know who wrote it? God wrote it. That's exactly right. God wrote it down up there. Who wrote it down here? Moses. Moses is exactly right. What's the first big point? Plenary. What's plenary mean? All things. We saw the creation of all things. Then what's the second big point? Patriarchs. What's a patriarch? A father. Who's the first father? Father Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat who? He did. Had about 13 of them, didn't he? Who's our hero? Joseph is the next patriarch. Excuse me, our hero. And Brother Chris, will you pray for us? We'll try to start today. Thank you. Now, last week, or does anyone know where we're at? What chapter? 37 is correct. Now, last week, I punished you and Brother Jerry. He was sweating when he got through. He read all of chapter 36, and we said that was a picture of religion, and it's dead and dry and dooms and dams, and they have a lot of religious people have a lot of hope and a lot of different characters or characteristics. And one of them we named was education. And I just got to thinking about that. You know, if you was interested in that, education won't get you to heaven, but there's no premium on ignorance. The Lord doesn't want us to be stupid. So if you're interested in that, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd ask the preacher where was the best school, what kind of class he recommended, and I would enroll in a class. A class and learn about Jesus and the Bible. Not just any old education. Or I would ask the preacher if he had any good books he wanted to loan out. It's what I'd do. While we're on the subject of education. But anyway, we're off of that now. We're over on chapter 37. And we said that 37:2 was a picture of salvation. Completely different than religion. Completely different. A contrast here. And the picture is, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. Now, we didn't take anything out of context, I don't believe. We did stop where the comma is, so I thought just for exercise, we'd read verse 1 and 2 together so we could see maybe that this is nothing out of context. Let's just read that together right now. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. The land of victory. It's a picture of victory, of the victorious Christian life. It's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of victory, of walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, again, this doesn't change anything. Even when Joseph was 17 years old, Jacob had his hope in him. He was still worthy. Maybe like this Jacob. I'm not expecting him to change, the Jacob that led the pledges. He's already got character, and that's what we're going to be talking about, some of the character of Joseph here. And don't forget, Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, is the picture of our Jesus, our heavenly Jesus. And we're going to see some ways they're alike. And I'm not kidding, Joseph is our hero. Why is Joseph in the Bible? There's three good reasons Joseph's in the Bible, at least three. One is, if we didn't have these last 13 chapters, 12 chapters of Genesis, Exodus would not make any sense. We need this. God knew we need this. And by the way, the rest of the book is about Joseph. Basically, we'll see. Chapter 38, if I forget to tell you, is homework. You'll do that at home. I don't have anything to say about it. And then chapter 50, it's not all about Joseph, but he's in there. He's in there. And anyway, so about 12 chapters go to Joseph, and part of the reason is it helps us understand Exodus and how the children got over into the book of Exodus, how that starts. Another thing is Joseph is almost a perfect example of the Lord Jesus, like we already said. There's no sin recorded against him. We know he's a sinner. The Old Testament Joseph is a sinner, just like us. He's human, but it's not written down. One place, he didn't use a lot of sense, but it wasn't necessarily a sin. And then the third reason it's in here is to exalt Christ, to lift him up for his glory. We live in grace, get lots of grace, but the reason is so we can give him glory. So we can give him glory is the reason. So verse 1 and 2 already read. He's 17 years old. He's a teenager. He's already got character deeply engraved in his heart. He's already learned that there's going to be hardships. Just because you're saved does not make us exempt from hard times. Everybody has a hard time and life is hard. And already early on, Joseph lost his mama. We saw that. And everything's not always rosy. Even when you do right, things go wrong. Things go wrong. And he's learning that. And Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife, and Joseph is his favorite son. Now, you're not supposed to have favorites. And we've talked about that before. That's another lesson. But if you ever did, Joseph would be a good favorite to have. Tim's brother asked his mamaw one time, said, "Mamaw, I know you're not allowed to have favorites, but if you did, who would it be?" So that's kind of how it is here. Jacob had 12 more, has already been pointed out here. Jacob had 12 more children, but the Lord doesn't look at numbers and quantity like we do. He looks at quality, and he's interested in quality. He looks on the heart, and he's seeing Joseph here as something special, that he's got a good heart, a good heart. And he's going to protect his great possession here. Joseph is pure. He's pure. Because of he's pure, he's going to get some special privileges. And then because of the privileges, he's going to get some persecution. Let's look at it. It starts off in verse 3 here. Now, Israel... Wait a minute, I need to back up. I'm sorry. Up in verse 2 here, I forgot something. You see here, and Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock. We don't want to miss that part. He already knew how to work. Let me say that. Some's missing that today. Let's look at John 10 on this. And it's about starting verse 11. I'll take this. There'll be lots of opportunity to read today. There'll be lots of verses. Get ready. Get your Bible ready. Some of you good readers, get ready. We're going to have some longer portions. John 10:11. The Lord Jesus is talking. Might be red letters in your Bible. And he says, I am. Remember that? Remember that name? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Again, all through that old Bible, you got the sheep dying for the shepherd, but here is in the New Testament now is the shepherd dying for the sheep, of which Joseph is a picture, and he's in the field. He's a shepherd. He's feeding the flock. And verse 3, Genesis 37:3, now Israel loved Joseph, and I want to go ahead and say the Heavenly Father loved Jesus more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Now, Benjamin's the son of his older age. But nevertheless, he's the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Now, Joseph is hated because of his devotion. In verse 2. He's hated because of his dress. In verse 3. Then in verse 4, he's going to be hated because of his dreams. Now, this coat of many colors, the common laborer had something that looked like a vest. It was sleeveless and came down maybe to the knees. But the ruler or the overseer, the manager in the old Bible, he had a long sleeve coat. It was probably white with some different color fringe on it, and it came down to the ankles. It was different for a manager or an overseer, and that's the kind of coat that Joseph's dad made, and gave to him. It wasn't a worker's coat. So you can see this rubs the brothers the wrong way. You can see why it would. And he's made over top of them. And then here in verse 4, when the brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, that's going to rub the wrong way too when they see it. If they didn't know it, it might have been a little different, but they know it. It's obvious. It's obvious. And when they saw that the father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. You've seen that perhaps where someone didn't talk to someone else like they were a human. Maybe like a dog barking, just always barking at you. Some households are famous for that. They just fight all the time. I've been in them. I've been there. And that's kind of what's going on. And Joseph's always the problem. They could not speak peaceably unto him. Let's check it out. This Matthew 23:26. Who could find it first? Matthew 23:26. Now, Joseph got a coat of many colors because he had cleaned up the inside. He was pure in his heart. And the father gave him a coat, then he was right on the outside. The verse said, we had a whole lesson on it one day. The verse said the father really is interested in both, the inside and the outside. We normally misquote that. But actually, God looks on the heart, but that's not all he looks at. He can see the outside too. Let's look at it in John 7:7. It says they hated him. When the brethren saw that the father loved him more than all his brethren. And see, the truth is, Joseph was worth more than all 11 of them added together, or 12. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. John 7:7. Joseph gave an evil report up in verse 2. When they were keeping the sheep, let's back up to about the middle of verse 2. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, I don't know what they did wrong, but Joseph told Jacob. Probably Jacob asking. Joseph's not just tattletaling. Jacob probably asked him, and Joseph told the truth. He could do no other. He had to tell the truth, and he did. He said, "Dad, it was bad. They were evil. They didn't do what you said." He had to tell it. He had to tell it. Now, one thing to notice is he wasn't a tattletale because of who he told it to. Jacob needed to know. He needed to know. He didn't go around telling everybody in the neighborhood. He didn't tell the other brothers. He didn't tell the other servants. He told it to Jacob. Jacob needed to know. Jacob asked him. He gave evil report. They hated the Lord Jesus because he told them the truth. He told them the truth. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Yet the more. John 5:18. Here's the dream. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave rose up and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and did make obeisance." This is obeisance like you saw see in the cartoons. You remember when they do this? That's obeisance. And he said, "Y'all's sheaf made obeisance to my sheaf." What's the verse there? John 5:18. And they hated him because of his words, too, because of his words. And if Joseph would have been silent at that time, that's one time when silence is not golden. He was asked, he had to tell. He had to tell. I usually get it backwards. I usually speak up when I should be quiet, and I'm quiet when I should speak up. It's what I normally do. But Joseph had it right. He was right on top of it. And they hated him because of his vesture and because of his visions. Both reasons. They couldn't say anything peaceable to him. They had no complaints. The brothers should not have been complaining. They had no reason to. Let's check it out in 1 Chronicles 5:1. 1 Chronicles 5:1. Who's got it? For as much as he defiled his father's bed. Now, the other brothers weren't any better. They weren't doing any better. They're a bunch of deadbeats, is what they are. They have, let's say, low or no character compared with Joseph. And verse 8 then, and his brothers said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" They knew what the dream meant. They knew what that obeisance meant. "Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. You know, they might hate you because you say this is right. They might hate you because of your words. Might be one reason, because of his words. Let's check that out in John 1:11 charge. Talent's useful, but Joseph had character. Talent might win you election even in a church house. But purity and privilege is what Joseph had. Go ahead.
"He came unto his own, and his own received him not."
The Lord Jesus understands rejection, and Joseph is starting to understand rejection. The Lord Jesus was rejected by his own. How about chapter 7, verse 5, Brother Jerry? John 7, 5. See, we have the Bible. Some have put dreams up above the Word of God. But we have the written Word of God, our own personal copy. And it's a great privilege.
"For neither did his brethren believe in him."
His own brethren didn't believe in the Lord Jesus. Guess what? They don't believe in Joseph. Parallel, right on down through. How about chapter 8, verse 40, Brother Jerry? Still in John. Now, the dreams in Genesis are repeated two times. They're always in pairs. He's going to have some, interpret some dreams later on in pairs. When God gives it in pairs, he's emphasizing the truth of it. Verily, verily, truly, truly, is what he's saying.
"But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham."
They sought to kill him. They sought to kill the Lord. We'll see in this chapter before we get out of it. His own brothers seek to kill Joseph. It's a parallel. Verse 9. We're seeing he was pure. The purity brought privileges. And the privileges is going to bring persecution. Now, three times they hated him. They hated him, and then they hated him yet the more. Then in 9 and 10, we see Joseph gets hurt even more. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brother and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him. That hurt Joseph in his heart more than all the brothers had done to him. The father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves unto thee to the earth?" He said, are you going to be over all the brethren and over your mom and dad both? Dad didn't even understand. Jacob didn't even understand. But it's certain. It's certain. Two dreams. It's positive. It's true. The brothers hate him more. Dad, when dad rebukes him, it's like pouring salt in the wound. We can expect rejection from some, but some, it hurts more. Some. Some in the family. Some that's close to us. Verse 11. Genesis 37:11. And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. Did it ever happen any other time? Let's check it out. Mark 15:10, charge. And his brother envied him.
"For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him forever.
again, didn't it? Happened to the Lord, and it happened to Joseph. The Lord was delivered for envy, for envy. Now I'm back in Genesis 37. And his brother went to feed the father's flock in Shechem. Now this is approximately 60 miles. Low on grass, summer pasture, winter pasture. Jacob sends the brethren with the flock 60 miles to find green grass. Verse 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'd have reservations myself, wouldn't you? Seems like Joseph's extra brave right here. Seems like it to go 60 miles, tell those that he knows hates him. Verse 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. Well, don't you figure he knows it's going to be an evil report? So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Even so send I you. Brother Dennis, how about Matthew 21? Let's see, I got 33. I think I changed that. Let's try. Matthew. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Well, let's look at it. Matthew 21:33. I think I'm going to shorten that a little bit, Brother Dennis. Let me look and see. No, go ahead. Start in 33 if you don't care. It's 33 through 46. I think we can hold on that long. Now, Joseph had to at least know that this was a possibility, that this could have happened to him. He may have said, no, it can't be, but it had to cross his mind that this was a possibility. For Joseph to go 60 miles and check on his brethren that hate him, 11 brothers that hate him, maybe Benjamin was home, 10 brothers that hate him, it takes submission. You're going to have to be submissive unto the Father, isn't he? It's going to take more than that. It's going to take sacrifice. He's going to have to get up off the couch, at least fix him a canteen, some biscuits, something to go. It's going to take steadfastness. He won't be able to give up. He's going to have to stick with it, isn't he, Jay? It's going to take stout-heartedness. He's not going to be able to be afraid. It's going to take courage to go 60 miles and check on 10 brothers that hate him. That's what it's going to take. Let's check it out in Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. Who could find it first? Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. You know, it's amazing that Joseph wasn't ashamed to call him his brother. You know something more amazing? The Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call me his brother. Declared it in the church, in the church house. I need to be faithful to declare that he's my brother. Joseph wasn't ashamed of him, and the Lord Jesus is not ashamed of us. Now, I don't know why. If you figure out why, you tell me later. In verse 15 now, Genesis 37, 15. A certain man found him, and behold, he, Joseph, was wandering in the field. Okay, if I go ahead and say he had the mind of the father. That's what he sent him to do, wasn't it? To look for him. Guess what he was doing? He wasn't over at the hot dog stand. He wasn't down at the Dairy Queen. He is wandering in the field looking for the brother. He had the mind of the father. He knew what the father wanted. And that's what he was interested in. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" Let's check it out in Philippians 2:5. What's he seeking, you reckon? Supposed to have the same mind of the father, same mind as my older brother. And Joseph had the same mind that his father had. He was interested in the same thing that the father was. Finding the brother, checking on the sheep, checking on the flocks. Verse 16, Genesis 37, 16. And he said, "I seek my brother." That's what y'all was doing yesterday, wasn't it, Brother Paul? That's what y'all was doing yesterday, wasn't it? Seeking the brother. Y'all doing it over in Braxton County, seeking the brother. Is that what y'all's doing, seeking the brother? It's going to work out good for you. I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's going to work out good. Seeking the brother. He said, "I seek my brother. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed the flocks." Let's check it out in Luke 19, 9 and 10. He's got the mind of the father, and he's seeking the brother. Luke 19, 9 and 10, who's got it? Who wants to read it? Hey, that's the same thing Joseph's doing. The Son of Man came to seek and save, and here's Joseph seeking the brother. He's wanting to get somebody else in the family, seeking the brother. Verse 17, and the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brother." Hadn't that been happening a lot around here? Isn't that what you do? Isn't that what Rick's supposed to do? Is go after the brother. He went after his brother and found them in Dothan. Let's check it out. He's wandering in the field. He's got the mind of the father. Let's look at it in John 4. 32 to 35. John 4, 32 to 35. There's the Lord at the well, and he doesn't find a brother in there, but he finds a sister. The woman at the well, he's getting ready to get her in. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Brother Dennis, how about Luke 15, 1 through 10? He's got the mind of the Father. He's wandering in the field. He's seeking the brethren, and he went after the brethren. He's seeking the brethren is what he's doing. Go ahead.
Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, she loses one piece, does not light a candle, sweeps the house, and seeks diligently, and she finds it. When she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents.
Over one bus rider. Over one brother, over one that gets in. There's three groups of people here. The Lord Jesus telling the parable to the publicans and sinners. It's a story of hope. The disciples are there. He's telling them to seek the brother. The Pharisees are there. He's telling them about their hypocrisy on over there when you get to the elder brother. Now, he's wandering in the field. He's got the mind of the Father. Let's look at it in Luke 2:49. He's seeking out the brethren. Luke 2:49. Who's got it? The Lord Jesus had the mind of the Father, and he was seeking the brethren, just like Joseph's doing. Genesis 24, we just read it the other day. Remember the silent servant, the Holy Spirit, the camel ride on a camel named Grace? Verse 65, Genesis 24:65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. He's out in the field seeking the brethren. He had the mind of the Father. That's what I'm talking about. In the field. What's the field, Brother Rick? Let's check it out. Here's the one I shortened, Brother Dennis. Matthew 13:36 to 44. The field, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sells all that he hath and buys the field.
The field is the world. Joseph's got the mind of the Father, and he's wandering in the field looking for his brother. For us, the field is Fayette County, Braxton County, Somersville, Nicholas County. And Brother Rick's supposed to have the mind of the Father and be wandering in the field looking for the brother. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for writing it down. Amen.